Colossians 1, verses 3 to 14, page 832 for anybody using the Church Bible, and is entitled Thanksgiving and Prayer. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of the light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Over the next months, we're focusing on Thanksgiving. Now, the Jews have a prayer for use at Passover, and it says, "Even if our mouths were filled with songs like the sea, our tongues with joy like its mighty waves, our lips with praise like the breadth of the sky, if our eyes shone like the sun and the moon, if our hands were spread out like the eagles of heaven, if our feet were as swift as the hind, we should still be incapable of thanking you adequately for 1,000th part of the love you have shown to us." Last week, Jake showed us that wonderful drama script, didn't he, of actually thanking people when, of people thanking him when they'd had good service. So, in a way, we're following on. When I was a child, you were taught to be thankful. After a meal, you had to say, "Thank you for my good meal, and please may I leave the table." And you might have been given permission to do so, or you might have been told to stay where you were for a little while. We also had to write thank you notes for presents we received. And you know, sometimes our parents sweated blood trying to get those notes written. And I think at some point we wished we hadn't even received the present. It was so much bother. Nowadays, it doesn't seem to be the thing, does it? You might receive a text or an email or nothing. But I wonder if you've ever received any thank you notes like these. "Dear Auntie, oh, what a nice jumper. I always adored powder blue, and fancy you thinking of orange and pink for the stripes. How clever of you. Dear Uncle, the soap is terrific, so useful, and such a kind thought. How did you guess that I'd just used the last of the soap that last Christmas bought? Dear Granny, many thanks for the hankies. Now I really can't wait for the flu. And the daisies embroidered in red round the M for Michael. how thoughtful of you. Dear cousin, what socks? And the same sort you wear. So you must be the last word in style. And I'm certain you're right that the luminous green will make me stand out a mile. Dear sister, I quite understand your concern. It's a risk sending jam in the post. But I think I've pulled out all the big bits of glass, so it won't taste too sharp on toast. Dear Grandad, don't fret. I'm delighted. So don't think your gift will offend. I'm not at all hurt that you gave up this year and just sent me a fiver to spend. Anyway, that's what we're going to be thinking about. We're going to be thinking about Thanksgiving. So let's have a look at our text and see how it can help us. It's entitled Praise and Thanksgiving. And every one of Paul's letters, except the letter to the Galatians, begins with thanks or praise. And throughout Colossians, praise is an important theme. And verse 3 begins, "We always thank God." No one else deserves the thanks, only God. We give thanks for the people around us, not just pray for them. Giving thanks to me means we show gratitude, not just remember people in our prayers. And I wonder, do we remember to thank God for the people who faithfully serve the fellowship week after week? You know, there are many, many such people, and they're not always up here up the front for us to see them, but they quietly get on with their tasks in the background. Paul and Timothy thanked God for the people in Colossae because they'd heard of their faith in Christ Jesus and for the love they'd had for all God's people. And it's a faith and a love that springs from the hope they have stored up in heaven because they have heard and received the gospel. These are the three great Christian virtues, aren't they? Faith, love, and hope. And we all know that famous verse in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, that tells us, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." And, you know, it set me thinking, what if Paul was writing about Brixington Church? Would he thank God for us? We are the church, the people who make up the fellowship. Would he praise God for our faith in Christ Jesus, for our love for one another, and the hope that we have stored in heaven? Is the gospel bearing fruit and growing in our community because of us? I don't doubt that we all say that we love the Lord Jesus, and he is our saviour, and our faith is secure in him. But what about this second virtue? Do we love each other? It's easy to love someone all of the time. But if you're like me, there are moments when you struggle, because there are times when we rub each other up the wrong way, or we make a less than caring comment, or our actions are misjudged. Being part of Brixington is a joy for me, because I feel loved and I feel cared for. Do I give back in the same way that people give to me? I hope if I don't, that you feel free to tell me. The word gives us a clear instruction on how to deal with upsets within the fellowship. Matthew 5, verse 23 to 24 tells us, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar, and first go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." It's interesting, scripture doesn't say wait for your brother or sister to come to you and put things right with you, but you go and do it, no matter who's in the wrong. Do it before you do anything else, and certainly do it before we come to communion. We're told to examine our hearts, aren't we? God can only work through us if we're in a right relationship with him and with each other. And it strikes me that over the last few weeks, we've heard that several times when people have stood up here and brought God's word to us. And I thought, is God telling us something? Do we need to hear something here? Do we need to hear and to act upon it? Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting." If we want to be used by God, we need to be in a right relationship with him and with each other. The church in Colossae was started through the teachings of Epaphras, but it had come under attack and there had been false teachings. Now, Epaphras is dear to the Colossians and to Paul. He's a fellow servant, a colleague who is faithful, and a minister of Christ. But he's not the centre, because salvation is through God and through his son Jesus. So Paul is reminding the people that their hope is in God and no one else. They've heard the true message. They don't need to be misled by wrong teachings. And you know, whatever the world may throw at them or us, we need to hold on to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We are his children, and he will never leave us or forsake us. And one day he's coming for us, and we will live with him forever. Amen. Isn't that worth an amen? Yeah, well, yeah, one day he's coming back, and we will live with him forever and ever. You know, I believe, I don't know about you, but I just want to raise my voice in praise and adoration to the Lord, because he alone is so wonderful. You can shout it from the rooftops, can't you? This is my God. This is the one that has saved me and rescued me and set me free. You know, by the time we get to verse 9, we reach the part of the letter where Paul is encouraging the people by telling them of his constant prayer for them. He says, "I have never stopped praying for you since the day we heard about you." Wow, never stopped. Do we constantly pray like this? In the past, we used to call such people prayer warriors, because they were always there, they were always praying, and we could always rely on somebody praying for us if we'd got a prayer warrior in the church. But do we remember to give thanks continually for the people in the fellowship? And I believe there's a difference between just offering a prayer and between offering our thanks. And today, well, it's the 3rd of September, isn't it? And so my prayer diary tells me I should be giving thanks for Ian. Thank you, Ian, and bless you for your drumming. I should be giving thanks for Bash and for Ellen, and saying thank you for your faithfulness and the way that you pray for us. And for Pauline. I should be praying for Pauline and say thank you, Pauline, for the way in which you serve us today. Those are the people that my prayer diary asks me to pray for. It also asks me to pray for the church leadership team. Yes, we need your prayers, whether you're thanking for us or not. And it also says the ICE projects. Give thanks for the ICE project, that they can be there working in the school. And I know they're a blessing to many Christian young people. That's right, Amanda, isn't it, with Catherine? I know. And so let's give thanks for those people. And remember that we pray for everything that we're involved with. We give thanks to God that we're able to be involved. But what is Paul praying for? He says, "We would continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives you." It's not a possession of facts and information, but the ability to live a godly life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do we have that power within us? Well, yes, we all have the power of the Holy Spirit from when we were saved. But we do need to ask to be empowered in order that we can live that godly life. Verse 10 says, "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Ooh, sounds a bit impossible. Yes, on our own it does. Because no way can I achieve a life that pleases God in every way through my own strength. I need the power of his Spirit every day filling me and equipping me. We need to live a life of worth that brings credit to our Lord. You know, and sometimes we can look around us, and without being judgmental, we can see things that happen within the churches, and we wonder, is that actually bringing credit to our God? We have to watch our lifestyle, don't we? We have to watch what we say. We have to watch the way we are with people. We are living a life that should be bringing worth to God. We want to glorify him, not let people point the finger and say, "Not going in church. Look what the people that go." We need to show them a life that glorifies God. It goes on to say, "being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." Being. It's an ongoing thing, isn't it? It wasn't yesterday. It isn't just today, but it's tomorrow. We are being strengthened. We are not living in our own strength, because we would fail. But we are being strengthened by his power according to his glorious might. So that the next time something happens in your life that would discourage you or make you feel a failure, just remember whose strength you are living in. We can endure and be patient to the end because we have a great big God. We give thanks to God, not for the situation, but because we are not on our own in the situation. Verse 12 says, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his people in the kingdom of light. What about that? We have qualified to share in God's inheritance. Over the last couple of weeks in August, A-level results and GCSE results have been published, haven't they? And we've seen on the television the joy that some people have had because they've got those A stars or they've got A's or they've passed exams that they never thought they would pass. They've qualified. You know, and whether you or I have got a qualification to our name, it doesn't matter. Why? We are qualified to share in God's inheritance. Yeah? That should bring us a great joy. What other qualifications do we need? As long as we've got that one, we are qualified to share in God's inheritance. I'm not putting down qualifications. You know, for me, it was a great joy the day I qualified to be a teacher, having had a head teacher who told me I'd never make it. You know, it was a great joy because, as I've said to you before, the day I qualified, the head teacher that told me I wouldn't qualify was in prison. So, you know, that's not to put it down, but it's just to say that there is a joy in qualifications, but for me there's a greater joy in being qualified because I share in God's inheritance. I couldn't do that on my own. I can only do that through God's power and strength. So no wonder we should give joyful thanks to our great God. We were once a people who were lost in sin. We had no hope, but now we have hope. One day we will reign with God on high and live with him forever. 1 Chronicles 23 verse 30, speaking about the Levites, says, they are to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. They are to do that for the people of Israel. But we don't need anyone to praise God on our behalf. We can do it ourselves. I don't know about you, but I find there's so much to thank God for in everyday life. Paddy spoke to us about creation, didn't she, in Lee Abbey, and the beautiful things they saw. We've talked about family, about friends, of food and health and strength. We could go on and on and on, couldn't we? It's an endless list of things for which we give thanks. And Lamentations 3, verse 22, 23 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Sorry, can't beat the AV for that translation. Yeah, so new every morning is God's faithfulness. Verse 13 and 14 says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. You know, when it talks about a kingdom or a dominion, it isn't referring to a territory, but it's referring to the authority and sovereign power of our God. We are no longer under the dominion of darkness, but under the all-conquering, all-victorious rule of the risen Christ. Our sins have been forgiven, buried in the deepest sea, never to be remembered anymore. You know, Corrie ten Boom, I love this, says we should remember that our sins were buried in the deepest sea, and the sign says, no fishing. You know, we are qualified, we are rescued, we're brought into the kingdom, we're redeemed, and we're forgiven. How can we not thank God? I'm sure the Christians at Colossae were encouraged by Paul's letters and also reminded of the God they served by the power of his Spirit. This morning, can we raise a thankful heart of praise to God who is able to do much more than we can ever imagine? He has done so much for us, and he longs to hear our praise and our thanksgiving rising up to him. quotation from a lady called Gladys Stern. She says, "Silent gratitude isn't much use to anyone." Think about it. Psalm 136 is a song of thanksgiving, and it has a refrain, "For his love is everlasting." Can we the first three verses, Michelle, please? Can we read these together? "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of God. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever."
Amen.